There was a gentleman who was an avid Harley Davidson motorcycle rider, and he rode all over the place, and he loved his bike. He loved to be out on the open road, and he every chance he got, he was out there just enjoying the freedom of the open road. And he was a very devout Christian. He always carried his Bible with him. He always prayed. He always tried to lead people to Christ along the way. And one day, along the way, he was driving along just a beautiful stretch of highway in the West, and God appeared to this man and said, "For your life devoted to me, and for all of your service, and for all of the good things that you've done, I'm going to grant you anything that you want, whatever the desire of your heart is. What would you like for me to do for you because you're such a good person?" And he thought for a second. He said, "I would like I tell you what, God, this is what I want. I would like a highway from California all the way to Hawaii. I would like to be able to just drive there on my motorcycle anytime I want to go. I'd like to be able to just, decide if there was a stretch of road that went all the way from California to Hawaii, that would be what I want." And God said, "Well, I was kind of hoping you would think of something a little less materialistic. I thought, and think of all of the resources that would take. Think of all of the concrete and the steel and just think of all of the natural, and it's really just for you. And I was kind of thought that you would think of something a little bit, less materialistic than that." And he said, "Okay, God, I'll tell you what. I would like to be able to understand women and why they get upset for no reason sometimes. Why they say nothing's wrong when something clearly is wrong. God, I'd like to understand how to relate to them better. I'd like to be able to predict moods and wants and desires and wishes. That's what I would really want." And God said, "Would you like that highway to be 2 lanes? Or would you like for it to be 4 lanes? See, sometimes in life we think that some problems are a little bit too big. And we think that maybe sometimes that what we can come up with, the circumstances of our lives or the desires that we have are too great to overcome. And sometimes we think that not even God Himself, if He were to come down right here, right in front of me, and just put His supernatural finger on things, not even God could fix this. The problems that I have are too great." And as we ask, what is God's will for my life? Today we're going to ask, find out what God's purpose for my problems, however big or however small. One of the fallacies that we fall into, or one of the mistakes that we make, or we compare, one problem to another. We compare my problems to their problems, and we think, well, mine are so small and theirs are so great, or I really don't need to go to God with this because, God's got bigger things to worry about. The problems in your life are very real to you. And they're very real to God. God has a purpose for them. God has He's got an overall reason for your life and a purpose in everything. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, we're going to look at what it looks like for God's purpose to be fulfilled in our life, even through our problems, no matter how big or how small. Even through the obstacles. He says, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." You see, God understands that there's going to be suffering. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be oppression. There's going to be problems of our own design and those that are outside of our control. He said, those who suffer, and don't make a mistake about it, it is within the will of God for us to suffer. Absolutely. When it is our fault that we're suffering, when it's not our fault that we're suffering, when it's our problem that we created, when we have really just stepped in it and done something that we know has generated this problem. And even when we are just minding our own business and problems happen, make no mistake, it is within the will of God for that to take place. Because don't forget, the will of God for our life, first and foremost, is not about our circumstances. It is about the choices we make and who we decide to be within those circumstances, good or bad. When we suffer, commit ourselves to our faithful Creator. I want you to key on a couple of words in that scripture before we move on. Commit and faithful. Commit us to a God who's faithful. You see, in the middle of problems, that's the first thing we have to remember. God is faithful. God is true. God is right there with us. So we're going to ask ourselves, how does God use the problems in our life? And if you got your order of worship, you can turn on the back and you can follow along and fill in the blanks. But first and foremost, God can use the problems in my life to direct me. You know, sometimes we're going down this path and we get kind of off path. We get off course and you know, God has to gently or not so gently guide me back to the path He wants me on. And in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 30, it says that blows and wounds cleanse away evil and beatings purge the inmost being. Now that sounds pretty brutal. Blows and wounds and beatings. But you know what that verse means when we put it in today's language, when we take it and we look at what the writer was writing and the words and how they're translated. It really means that sometimes in our life, it takes painful experiences for us to change course, for us to change our ways. You see, problems rarely leave us where they find us. If we want to be within the will of God, if we want to understand God's will for our life, sometimes in the midst of problems, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of turmoil, we have to realize maybe God's trying to push me back on course. Maybe He's trying to amend some behavior that I have. And you know, coaches are real good at this. Coaches understand this. I'm helping coach a baseball team and we got a really good coach. And sometimes the effort isn't exactly what it's supposed to be. And what our baseball coach, Greg Bailey, will say, he says, boys, I'm going to run the bottoms of your shoes off. He said, I tell you what, you keep doing what you're doing and just don't even bring a glove to practice because we're just going to run. Some gentlemen on the front row, when you hear push-up position, what does that mean? Somebody better fix something fast because the whole wrestling team's about to do push-ups because somebody's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And these two gentlemen here, when they hear that, and they get down and start. You see, sometimes the things that happen to us guide us back into a way that God wants us to go. Sometimes we have to take it upon ourselves to realize that it isn't just, oh, woe is me, I can't ever catch a break. Maybe we just need to get back on the road. C.S. Lewis says that God speaks to us in our pleasures, but God yells often in our pain. How else does God use our problems not only to direct us, but He also uses our problems to inspect me, to check out what's on the inside. In Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8 and verse 2, He says, remember how the Lord your God led you for 40 years in the desert to humble you and to test you, to know your heart and to determine whether or not you would keep His commands. God uses the difficult. Sometimes He leads us in difficult, problematic ways just to show us what we're made of. Just to prove to Him what's on the inside. And in Job 23 and verse 10, He tells us that He knows the path I take. Job's telling his friend, God knows the direction that I have gone. He knows the direction, good or bad. And when He tests me, He will find what is on the inside. In Job's case, he said, when He tests me, He will see that I am pure as gold. But sometimes, when He tests us, He shows that we're not as pure as gold. And there's something that needs to go away. There's something that needs to, that shows up, that we need to fix. You know, a lot of times our sin is our hidden, packed down, forgotten, hidden sin is discovered in times of trouble, whether we have anger issues or whether we have doubt issues, whether we have issues with disbelief, whether we have character flaws, whatever it is. When we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, when the going gets tough, what do? Do we resort to making alliances with the world to get through difficult times? Or do we just keep on following God in the desert, knowing that He is faithful? And if we stay committed to Him, He's always committed to us. God will find out what's on the inside of us through the problems that we have, through the issues that come up, the oppression and the suffering. See, God, the reality is and Job knew this. When Job says in 23:10, God knows my path. See, it isn't necessarily God that wants to find out what we're made of. It isn't necessarily God who needs the news flash of what's on the inside of us, but He uses those problems to show us, to give us a window into our own soul. If we're looking, if we really want to know what God's will is. You see, through this series, we're coming down to the nitty-gritty of it to figure out, because so many people say, oh, I just want to know what the will of God is for my life. I want to know, I want to be in the will of God. Well, the question I keep asking is, do we? Because problems will discover what's on the inside. And if we want to be in God's will, no matter what the circumstances is, we've got to be willing to make some changes. We've got to be willing to, when we find out that I'm not a patient person, will we be more patient? When we find out that I'm not such a giving or generous or loving or selfless, if I'm not so kind, if I'm not so, I'm more worldly than I, if I cling to this, when I find those things out and the problems that come along, am I willing to get in God's will? He goes on to continue to do things in His will. And God uses the problems in our life not only to direct us and to inspect us, but He uses problems to correct. You know, these the number one and number three are real close to each other. But in correcting me, the difference between directing and correcting is a whole lot to do with my character. And in Psalm 119, 65 through 72, David, after he has committed some of the most heinous crimes against God and against man, he says that before I was afflicted, I went astray. I didn't keep your commands. He says it was good for me to be afflicted. It was good for me to experience difficulty and problems and oppression and all kinds. It was good that I suffered, God, because now I love your word. See, there's a big difference between knowing God's word and keeping God's word and loving God's word and keeping God's word. Guys, I'll tell you, a lot of my Christian life has been spent abiding by the Word of God. Not all of it, but I can say a lot of it's been spent abiding by the Word of God with gritted teeth, wishing the Word of God didn't say what it says. I'm just being honest. I mean, a lot of my Christian life has been spent with clenched fists, not in love with the precepts and the promises, with the commandments and all of the will for my life that He has. It's been spent in obedience, but not in love with His Word. And so what God has shown me throughout this is that I have a love problem with His Word. And David, a man after God's own heart, says, when I was afflicted, it taught me to love your word, because your word does so much more than just guide me. It changes me if I will let it. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7, he says, look, there's good news in all of this. You see, there's good news in the problems that we have, in the sufferings and all of these things. There's good news because when God allows this to happen, when God disciplines us in this way, the reality is that God disciplines those He loves. When God disciplines us, when God allows these problems to happen, the good news is that we're His children and He loves us. If He didn't discipline us, then you could make an argument that He really didn't care. You see, if you've ever, those of us who are parents, we tell our kids what to do. Sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't. When your kids are misbehaving, especially when they're younger, you know, one thing that works really well is just don't tell them anything. Just, they want to do it, fine, go ahead, do it. Give them about 3 or 4 hours. They'll come running. Why are you doing? I don't care what you do. Just go do that. Remember that? Dad, that's wrong. You're supposed to tell me what to do. You see, when we have that direction, when we have that looking over us, taking care of us, when we have that discipline, we feel loved. And the Bible says when we're disciplined, it means God loves us. We're sons. We are daughters. That's what David meant when he said, I love your word. Now, God, I've realized more and more that you love me. We're children of God. We need to remember whose we are. See, problems not only change our direction, they completely change our course. They change our character. They change not only what we're doing, but they can change what we love, what we want to do. The fourth thing that God does is that God uses our problems to protect me. He can direct us and look on the inside. He corrects us and problems protect us. And He says in 1 Peter 3:17, it's better to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil. You know what that means? You know what the Bible, what Peter's telling the first century Christians? It's better to fall into the hands of men than it is to fall into the hands of God. You would much rather be caught in the wrath of man than to be caught in the wrath of God. So, when trouble comes up, when issues, oppression, when things arise, when we have problems, do not sacrifice what God has called us to do. Do not compromise with the world, because He says by avoiding the wrath of men, we can so easily just walk right into the wrath of God. He says in Genesis 50:20, Joseph tells his brother, What you meant for my harm, God meant for my good. God can put us in situations that will protect us from even greater harm down the road. You see, God used the problems that Joseph had to set him up as second in command in the most powerful superpower in the world at that time. And He put His people in a place where they could thrive and grow and become a nation. He had to go through some issues along the way, some problems. But it protected him from other problems down the road. You guys have all met my good friend Jason Ryback, and I talked to him this week and got permission to use his testimony as an example here. It absolutely works. Because God can keep us from bigger problems. Jason was working at Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis, and had a great job, and it's a lot like working at Jack Daniels. It's been there forever, but only a lot bigger. Great job, great benefits, great this, great that, making a ton of money. One day he goes into work, and they said, you need to turn in your badge, and you don't want to work here. And security at a company like that, they just escort you out, and they said, we'll mail you what's in your office. So he comes by my office. He's not a Christian at this point. He and I had been talking and studying, and we were going through Scripture. And he was kind of not necessarily an atheist, but he didn't believe. And he said, Shane, what am I going to do? And I said, well, what you're going to do is you're going to concentrate on what God wants you to concentrate on. I said, God's given you a gift here. God's given you this gift. I said, what was the most important thing in your life outside of your family up until today? And he said, well, my job. So what was so important to you? What did you think would never, ever go away? Well, obviously my job, because you see, you know, his dad had gotten him that job and he was generational and you know, and you just don't, and it, you people that are in that position that work there for that company, they just don't go away. I mean, you know, they've got people that haven't done a lick of work in 20 years that are protected and still working there. And God somehow pushed him out the door. So don't waste this hurt. So we spent the next couple of days praying together and studying together. And he realized that what he thought would never let him down would absolutely let him down. What he thought would never go away would absolutely go away. And what he really never knew about would never let him down. And he had an opportunity to spend time with God, realizing that God was all that would ever be there forever. And he was baptized into Christ. And a couple months later, not necessarily because he was baptized, he got a job that didn't pay as well, but it was a fine job. About 6 months after that, the whole department that he worked for went away at Anheuser-Busch. The only difference was that it was almost a year later, the economy was nowhere near what it was, and those guys that he worked with to this day have had a hard time finding work. See, a lot of times, God can put us in a situation that is problematic. But in His will and His providence for our life and in His understanding of a greater plan at work here, He can protect us from something that's on its way. Jason will tell you that losing his job at Anheuser-Busch was the best thing that ever happened to him. It drop-kicked him into a relationship with God, but more importantly, it taught him that God is all there is to rely on. Our problems can protect us. And lastly, God uses our problems to perfect us, to make us look more like Christ. You see, if you read the New Testament, if you read the Old Testament, if you read any of the prophecies about Jesus, problems and suffering make us like Him. And in James 1 and 2, it says that we must consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kind, because the testing of our faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, making us more like Christ. When we face problems, when we have issues, it's God's will of saying, I want you to look more like Jesus. And in Hebrews 2 and 10, Jesus was perfected through suffering. And in that passage, he said that God used the suffering to perfect the author of our salvation. You know what that word author is more closely related to in English? He is the pioneer of our salvation. You see, a pioneer goes out front and they, you know, pioneering things and getting there first, and you know, the trailblazers. He's showing us the way. In Romans chapter 5, 3 through 4. We get there. Not only so, he's talking about, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but not only so, we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Hope in what? Hope in us being like Christ. See, problems make us more like Christ. If we will look for the will of God in the middle of those things, if we will allow God's work to work on us. So when you're going through these problems, when we have issues or oppression, suffering, and persecution in our life, remember this, that God sees everything that we are going through. The problems that we face do not mean that God has turned His back on us. They do not necessarily mean that we have done something to deserve them. Problems come in good times. Problem comes in bad times. Jesus says that God causes the rain causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. Don't ever forget, God sees what we're going through. And regardless of the cause, God can use this in our life. Remember Romans 8 and 28? God works all things together for good for those that love Him. And God can change the situation. God can fix whatever problem we are in. He is capable. But you know what His will is? His will is that He wants to change us first. You know, so often our prayers, God, fix this. God, fix this so that I don't have to go through this anymore. God, change this. Make this person do this. Make that person go away. Make this situation. God, find me a job. God, this. God, that. You know, whatever it is. Oftentimes, most of the time, God is wanting us to pray, God, show me how I can be more like You in the middle of this. Is your marriage falling apart? Maybe instead of praying that God would fix that person, God wants to fix you. Maybe He wants to fix that person not because you prayed for it, but because they did. Or is there economic struggles? Maybe instead of, you know, God, fix the economy. God, make it to where I don't need all this stuff. Fix my materialistic heart. You see, God's got a bigger plan. God wants to fix us before He wants to fix problems. This morning, we have an opportunity to leave here smack dab in the middle of God's will. Smack dab right in the middle of where God wants us to be. And it has nothing to do with the circumstances or the situations or the issues that we're dealing with. It has everything to do with how we are going to choose to respond and display the glory of God in the middle of that, come rain or shine. Will we allow God to put us back on the path? Will we allow God to teach us what we're made of? Will we allow God to change our character to where we love the precepts and the perfect commands of His Word? Will we allow God to make us more like His Son Jesus? Will we make that decision? Will we confess Him as Lord and be baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection? Will we come back to Him knowing that He sees what we're going through? Whatever your need is this morning, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.